It certainly is. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah, for another time. Lord, we're all here together as one big happy family, joining our hearts together, Lord. Father, we just, every one of us are walking into the gates of thanksgiving right now. And we enter into your courts with the praise on our lips, Lord. And I bless your name, Lord. For you are great and you are greatly to be praised. Praise you, Father. We adore and we worship your holy name, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. I just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. We command all witchcraft curses to cease right now in the name of Jesus across the board to anyone listening and everybody that's attending in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that you have already sent your angels out there to strike up a wall around each and every one of us that the enemy cannot penetrate. In Jesus' name, I thank you tonight, Lord, that your glory falls on each and every one of us to fill us with so much of you, Lord, there ain't nothing left but you. And we praise you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have this open heaven because we love you so much, Lord. The enemy can't interfere with that. And we praise you, Father. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we just praise you and glorify your name for all that you're going to accomplish, all that you have accomplished, and all the people that are fixing to come into the kingdom. We're fixing to have the greatest revival that mankind has ever seen. And I thank you, Lord, for preparing our hearts to bring them in the name of Jesus, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for sending this man child ministry forward right now, Lord. I ask that you send it now, Lord. We need it so much. We need it right now, Father. And I thank you for doing that, Father. And I know that with the man child power, protection, all of the things that you brought, Lord, on this earth 2,000 years ago will be once again on this earth again. And we thank you for it, Father. Not only that, it's going to be in multiplied multiplicities of man-childs across this world, Lord, doing the same thing. You said the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do, and you're going to do more, greater, you said, greater works. Well, Lord, we're going to hopefully this man-child ministry and the bride is going to populate heaven, I mean, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the days ahead, because I'm getting excited more every day because I know the man-child is near. And we praise you and we thank you for all that's accomplished this night in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for being with us, in us, around us, on us, between us, all of those great and wonderful things, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, my. Man, I feel so good. Anybody got a prayer request? Or a testimony? Or a praise report? Or a song? I got a song. Lord of God. It's a good one. Somebody needs to get excited in this room. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead, Geneva. Here's one. Got a fish, boys.
Have a prayer request or a testimony.
Awesome.
I was wanting you all, Brother Michael, if you could say a prayer and everybody believe. Morgan today was checking the back of his teeth, and he hasn't had his wisdom teeth removed. And it's funny because last ministry we were all talking about teeth and having faith and not having to go to the dentist, and all of a sudden this happened. The back of his wisdom teeth it's kind of like a blackish color, but they just, you know, they don't look that great right now. But you know, we both brush our teeth and stuff, so I don't know if it's just because they never got removed or what. But anyways, if we can pray and believe in Jesus' name that is going to go well. He's right here with me, by the way. But if we can just pray and believe in Jesus' name that that's going to go away, like Angelica when she had that testimony about her son, I just want to believe that the Lord's going to heal his teeth and You know, I rebuke any infection or any, you know, whatever they try to say, like gum disease or anything of that sort. I rebuke all of that in the name of Jesus. So, Brother Michael, if you'll just, if you'll say a prayer, please.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you. You gave him those teeth not to be pulled. I don't know why they call them wisdom teeth, but whatever. It don't make no never mind. Lord, you put him in there. And we thank you, Lord, that the pain is gone. The discoloration is gone. They're effective, top and bottom, throughout his whole teeth. I don't remember how many there are. I think there's 36, 32, 34. I don't know ever how many it is. It's all healed, delivered, and set free right now in the name of Jesus. And then we thank you, Lord, for not only doing that for him, but to whiten them up for him in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, and doing the same thing for Geneva in Jesus' name. And anybody else that wants it, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're our dentist. That's all we believe, Lord. We thank you for being our dentist. Matter of fact, I just got through praying for a lady in while ago for her teeth. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to do the same thing for everybody here that needs it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Because you're our doctor. You're not our doctor. You're our healer. You're our dentist. You're our protector. You're our provider. And you're our deliverer. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all believe that? Lord of God, I believe it. And I believe it for Morgan too. In Jesus' name. It is done, Lord of God. Woo, my. Thank you, Lord. We've been doing this all day long. We've been delivering folks all day long. It's been awesome. Thank you, Jesus. I'm fired up, pumped up, and all that good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Carol. Carol having the time in there. Go on, girl. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ooh, my. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, David, Alina, whoever that is.
It's me.
Okay, Alina.
So I have a testimony, praise report to share. For the past month, Adelina has been waking up at night, screaming, crying, and sometimes it'd be once a night, sometimes twice. And we would always pray for her and put her back down and whatever, but it was happening every single night. And then Friday night, I had a dream and I was outside with Addie and I looked up in the sky and I saw this black bird flying over us and I knew I had to protect Addie from it. And this bird, it had all black feathers except for one white feather on the top of its head. And in my mind, I thought it was a falcon, which I know falcons are predatorial birds. And I had to go do something. So I asked my sister to watch Addie for me and I left. And when I came back, Addie was laying in a car seat and she looked lifeless. And I like kind of yelled at my sister. I was like, why weren't you paying attention? Why weren't you watching her? And I looked at her and I saw the bird's beak sticking out of Addie's mouth. So I knew that the bird was inside her, killing her. And so I reached and I grabbed the bird's beak and I pulled it out of her body, out of her mouth, and I chopped the bird's head off. And then I woke up in my dream. So like I had a dream within a dream, but anyway. Yeah, so I didn't like I kind of forgot about the dream for some reason. And then Saturday night, we asked for some prayer for Addie about some rebellion we saw in her. And I think we also mentioned about that she'd wake up at night crying. And after that night, David and I were sitting in bed and I shared that dream with him. Like I just randomly remembered it and I shared it with him. And a little bit after, Addie started crying. And so I went into her room, I prayed for her and I put her back down and I went back into my room. And not even an hour passed and she started screaming, crying again. And so I was like, you know, we should go in there together and do some warfare. So both David and I went in there and I was holding her and we were both praying over her and just, you know, casting out anything we could think of and just praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden I smelt this like stench come out of Addie's mouth. Like it stank so bad. And so I just started praying in the spirit and then I started commanding whatever was inside of her. I remembered that bird and I was like, whatever is in her, you have to go now. And I just started commanding it out. And she started coughing really hard to where I thought she was going to throw up, but she didn't. And then she stopped coughing and cried just a little bit and then pointed at her crib and asked if she could go to sleep. And so we put her back down, we blessed her, we kissed her. And she was completely fine. Like she slept all night. And then the next night she slept all night. So we were just like, praise the Lord, whatever it was defeated. This night she did wake up crying again. So I don't know if it's just trying to come back, but I was like, I don't accept it. It can't come back. We've overcome it.
Well, first part, in the Eddie name agrees. Of Jesus. What's that, dude?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to. Addie agrees. I heard her in the background. She agrees. That's not coming back.
Amen.
We just commanded not to come back in Jesus' name. You don't have any right in that house at all. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your angels stationed around about David and Lena's house that won't allow this to happen to Adelina or Abigail or David or Alina, in Jesus' name. We command that predatory spirit out of there, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your protection upon this family, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. She's going to get a good night's sleep tonight. Nobody's going to be awakened until in the morning, in Jesus' name. Has anybody got anything else about this dream that she had? All right, I believe it's done. Yeah, Julie.
Perhaps, I don't know, maybe you all can weigh in on this. What was coming to me is, you know, it was in her mouth and it was a black bird. I mean, black bird is an unclean spirit. And I just was wondering if something's been spoken over her to curse her. Because it was spoken, it was in her mouth. So that's where I was getting that. So
could have been.
Just break any curses that have been spoken over Adelina or this family in Jesus' name. Let me break your power off of them. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. We believe it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Claire.
I've just recently learned there's actually I know there's a spirit of murmuring, but it's also a demon. So it's like it's manifest as a bird and it's pretty awful and it comes onto children and it causes rebellion. So I just break that spirit of rebellion and spirit of murmuring, and anybody that is murmuring against this family, we command those words to cease and desist and fall at the feet of God's elect, because we are wearing the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. And we are swinging these swords and we are never going to stop, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Claire.
Yeah. I'd like to pray for my daughter and her family in California.
Okay.
They've had a couple of fires near their home. I mean, well, I thought it was pretty near because a few days ago it was like 5 miles from their home. And I got a text from her this afternoon telling them they should evacuate now. So they're not exactly sure where they're going. They could go maybe to Ventura, or her husband's sister lives in San Diego. So, but those are like 5 or 6 hours away. So wherever they go, it may be a ways unless they find something else closer. So I just like to lift them up.
Amen.
Well, Father, I thank you that you are in this situation here. And I have been praying for you to draw them, knowing that you know what it will take. You know what situation may cause them to seek you out. And it seems to me you've chosen a fire. And I just ask you, Lord, for your protection over them. But I pray that you would draw them, and that they would see their need for you, their need for salvation, their need for the word, their need to know your promises, many, many needs. And I thank you that you know what you're going to do in this. And I thank you and I praise you for that. And I know that you will be with them through it. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for drawing to you.
Yes. They've been working on a house to move into for probably 3 years because they're doing a lot of the work themselves. And they're just about ready to move in. Now, that house, really, they're not too worried about it burning because it's brick and it has a steel roof. So they're not real concerned about that one. But the home that they're presently living in is not brick, and there are lots of trees around it, whereas the other one, there are not. But they live close to the Sequoia National Park, and they live actually just a couple miles from the gate that goes into there. But they're real concerned for those big trees. They just don't want them to burn. And they are beautiful and just so large and magnificent. So I can understand that. But Dennis is going to stay and look over their things. He is a firefighter, so that's why he's not leaving. He's going to stay there. And just Stacy and Anna and Maverick will be going somewhere. Don't know just where just yet, but I just thank the Lord that he's going to look after them. I don't need to be concerned about their welfare. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Gay. No, believe it is so.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Missy, go ahead.
Update on Matt and Megan and the baby. Plus prayer. I talked to them yesterday, and apparently my little grandson that's yet to be born is quite the active little stinker. Since he was head down, he's flipped around 2-3 times. But apparently for the past 5 weeks, if I understand correctly, he's breech. And so they're planning on inducing her on the 25th because of concern of high blood pressure. And but now they're saying that it's not likely that he's going to flip back around. And And since he's breached, they want to do cesarean. And Megan's all right with that. She doesn't want to have to go through what Brooke went through and go through 3 days of trying to have labor induced and end up getting a cesarean anyway. But I don't know exactly how to pray. I know the Lord can turn that baby, and I know the Lord can bring on labor, you know, naturally. But I don't have a sense of really what the Lord wants to do here, but I'm just asking the Lord for his best for them, that he make himself known to them and that they know that it was God that showed up for them. However that looks, I know the Lord can answer that prayer. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And they know that it was you, Lord, that you show yourself strong. And I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace towards them. And I know that you're watching over Megan and the baby, and that they are both going to be fine and healthy and come through this with flying colors. And I just cast down, and I break any curse spoken over them. Lord, the doctor said it's a slim chance that he turned back around. And Debbie Fenske gave a testimony that when she was in labor, it found out she was the baby was breached when she was in labor with one of her babies, and the Lord turned the baby around when they asked. So I didn't have to hear that. I know you could do it, Lord. But that's encouraging to hear that. So Lord, I'm just looking forward to seeing this new grandbaby. Now I'm gonna have a grandson, one of each. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing them and showing yourself to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Debbie, didn't you have a testimony about you and Denny praying against a breached baby? And that baby turned over?
Mm-hmm, that's what she just now briefly mentioned. Yeah, it was a home birth, and I had such terrible back labor. Oh, it was really bad. And he was a big baby, he's Judah. But anyway, she said, she finally told me that, you know, this back labor is because this baby is breached. And so we prayed against it. We prayed that God would turn that baby. And this was 2 hours before he was born that she told me that, and we prayed. And it wasn't long. I just felt my whole stomach just heaved. It was just rolling. And he turned. It was really amazing. He turned, and wasn't born breached.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome.
And my back labor stopped too. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Father. You could do anything. We believe that for Megan and the husband, everybody else, maybe. Matt. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I know you're going to do it too. And put faith in their heart to believe that you can do it, Lord. I mean, you made the baby, for goodness sake. You can make that baby come out any way you want to, Lord. And it'll do. David said he had one of his come out that was breached. It was breached, but it just popped right out. Breached. It was doing the splits when it came out, I guess. I don't know, but well, praise God.
Yeah, Megan said that, you know, the doctors wanting to induce her, she feels is an overreaction. And she said, I believe that a baby will come out when it's meant to come out, you know, when God, you know, intends it to, you know. And so, Lord, she feels that way, Lord. But, you know, lots of times the doctors try and play God, you know. And so, Lord, I just I'm anxious, looking forward to seeing how you work this out. And I know in my heart how I want it to work out. I want it to work out perfectly the way it's supposed to work out, Lord, in your eyes, because you're God and you can bring on labor and you can turn this baby and she won't have to be induced, and she won't have to have it as cesarean. So, but I'm leaving it open for you to do exactly what you want to do, and for the reasons you want to do it, Lord, because your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and you know, so thank you, Lord. Amen.
Go ahead, Claire.
Is it not possible to maybe just pray down this negative report from the doctors? I mean, what do they really know? Let's be honest. What do they
really absolutely
know? You know, I've pretty much done that. I've broken the curses that the doctors have put over her and the baby and stuff. So and that's why I say, you know, I'm just believing for the Lord's best. You know, I don't want to, I know what's in my heart, you know.
Well, he told us to command, Missy.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not positive that the Lord is going to override completely what they're willing to accept. Where their faith is. And I know that the Lord can use our faith, but I'm not set on that. You know.
Well, can I pray? Because I've got enough faith for about 500 babies right now.
Go ahead with it, Miss Claire.
Lord, we come to you and we bring this beautiful Megan and her baby and Missy's grandchild to you, Lord. And we know Missy has already done such a wonderful job at waging war, Lord. We know she's one of your chosen prayer warriors. But as a body today, Lord, we can all stand with one heart and one mind, and we can cast down every evil word spoken over this child and over the way it's going to come into the world. As a corporate body, we intercede for Megan. We intercede for those who have little faith. And we pray, Lord, that you would build her up and that you would, the seed that is there, the seed that agrees with you, that says this baby is coming as it's supposed to, that is agreeing with your original plan for the baby and for the mother. So we stand with that faith, that small little faith, Lord, and that is the faith that moves mountains. And we agree that this baby is going to come in a mighty way, and that it is not going to be because of a bad report, because those fiery arrows are going to fall at the feet of God's elect. They are not going to touch us. And that baby has been saved before the foundation of the world because he is part of Missy's household. And so we know that you have thoughts of peace for that baby, thoughts for that baby to prosper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to pray for this precious soul. Thank you for this baby, and thank you for Megan and her husband, Matt, and thank you for giving them that small, small seed that we can all stand with and agree on, that this baby is coming in the way you intended, Father, and not the way that the world intends. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I believe it with Claire and Missy and everybody else that this is what's going to happen. You're going to get the glory, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe it. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. We had a couple of ladies here visiting from somewhere, North Carolina, I think. And they came here to get delivered, and they got delivered too. They came out and they came in bound up. They went out free as a bird. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. And now hopefully they'll be joining us. I think they're going to join us when they get home. They're going to join the conference call. So, Ice Crystal. I say I remember one of them's name is Ice, the other one's name is Crystal. So when they come up, I just call them Ice Crystals. So when Ice and Crystal come on, we'll know who it is. two wonderful girls that you ought to be glad to have in the family here. All right, anyone else? Anything? Yeah, Vanita. Go ahead, girl.
Hello there. I need prayer for my knee. It was doing great. I was out working in the barn all day yesterday, maybe a little too much, but somehow it twisted or something and I can barely walk today. So I was just going to ask for prayer for my knee, and I've been casting and binding everything I can think of. So.
All right. Y'all just imagine in your mind that knee being healed, because with God fixing to heal it for, in the name of Jesus right now, I command that knee to be healed. I command the pain to go. I command all discomfort to go. I command any swelling to go. In Jesus' name, I command that knee to be completely healed right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that it is done. Now, Vanita, jump up and down on that thing and tell us where the pain is. There ain't no pain, is there? No, I ain't lying.
Well, let me try. Let me get up on it.
All right, get up on it. Get up on that knee and tell us, is there any pain?
Just a little bit on the right side. It's twinging.
All right,
but
in the name of Jesus, we command that pain to go. I said go in Jesus' name. You shall not sit there. You go from her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that it is healed. Praise you, Lord. Now, where's the pain?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm trying to be so careful on it because it was hurting so much. But
is it hurting now?
Yeah, it's still hurting. Yeah, it is. Yep.
Put your hand on it.
All right.
In the name of Jesus, I command her knee to be healed. Now, I ain't going to accept anything less than that. Than healing in her knee right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just praise you for it. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. That means it is done. It's finished. Thank you, Father. Pain, you go.
Amen.
Which knee is it?
It's my right knee.
Okay. We're trying to imagine which one.
Yeah, just imagine. Yeah, amen.
It was just fine when I got up this morning, and then some curse got on it during my getting ready time.
It's healed.
It's working its way out. It's coming.
By his stripes, you were healed.
Amen.
That's what the word says. We're going to go by what the word says, right?
Amen. I believe that. Yep. Whatever the word says, I believe that.
Hallelujah. All right, before the night's over, you're going to get up and dance on that thing and show us that that pain is gone in Jesus' name. I believe it.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for
that. All right. Anyone else? Amen. Yes, Geneva.
Another request. I probably won't be on here Thursday night because me and Morgan are be flying back to Kentucky because we are picking up my mom and bringing her down here. Thank you, Jesus. So, yes, in Maryland, we believe strongly in what you pray way back when, that mom's going to come down here and she's going to be delivered. She's going to be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
She's going to be the happiest she's ever been, and those spirits are going to have to stay off of her because she's going to be around me and Morgan, and she's going to be around Isaac, Mariana, and the Lord through us. And we're just going to believe that she is healed and set free. So what I wanted to pray for is me and Morgan have to, so we're flying down and we're getting her two vehicles, and they are old vehicles. Both of them, I would say, are little beaters, and they have to make it 14 hours. So I want to pray and believe in Jesus' name there's going to be no issues, and that neither one of those cars is going to break down, and that they are going to make it all the way here, which we do plan on stopping halfway just to get a hotel, just for my sake and stuff, so that way I can relax for a little bit before we drive the rest of the 7 hours. So I just want to pray and believe in Jesus' name that those cars are going to make it, and there's not going to be any issues, and it's going to be smooth sailing. And it's going to be a good trip down here.
So,
amen.
All right, I'll pray now. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for everything you've done, Jesus. Thank you for all the testimonies and all the healings. And God, for all the prayer requests that we already know are answered in Jesus' name on here, Father. And Lord, thank you, God, for so much faith, God, and just such an awesome faith building process here lately, Father, that I've had just with my family and everything you've been doing for my mom and me and Morgan and Morgan's teeth. Thank you, Lord. And Father, for this baby. And Jesus, I thank you that these cars, Lord, are protected by you. And that, Father, there's no issues, God. They're like brand new again. And Father, they're going to make it. And Lord, we're not going to have any issues, Father. And they're going to be able to drive just fine and get us down here, Lord. And we're going to be safe. And your angels are going to be around us and on the road and around other people driving as well, Father. And Lord, I thank you, God, for just for everything you do, God. You're such an amazing Father, Lord. And God, you never let us down. And thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And we love you, Father. And thank you that our faith is going to stay strong. And I rebuke anything that any family members or anybody tries to say while we're in Kentucky, because we know the good report, Father. And we know what you have done. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, that there's not going to be one dent on either one of those cars. It's going to get good gas mileage, and they're going to be happy to get them back to Florida, get them to Florida in Jesus' name. Mama's going to, as soon as she hits the Florida line, Mama's going to be healed. Set free, Lord of God, in the promised land. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Sammy. Did you want to say something? No? Okay. All right. I thought I saw you raise your hand. My mistake. All right. Yes, Carol.
Testing, testing. Can you hear?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Well, first I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Abba Daddy God, and thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm continuing to push through anxiety and fear that has been trying to come back. I have a praise report, and I have got to continue to pray. Because I went to see my doctor on Friday, and he's been really not the same person since he found out that I didn't get the shot. Okay, so he's really like intimidating me, and I could feel it's the enemy trying to push me back in the corner and get really small again. Right. Saturday morning, I received and he didn't sign the papers. He didn't get what I needed, so I didn't get. I haven't had a pay in 3 weeks. Okay. Just so you know, but God is good. I know it's money in the bank. I've declared it's money in the bank. I think you guys have prayed that this is going to come through. So, but I did have a little meltdown, but Saturday morning I woke up, I received an email. Okay. And I cried like a little tiny kid. And within seconds, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I heard his voice and he said, I am going to make what happened to you, I'm going to flip it. And I went, poof, I was fine. I knew that he's going to flip this story. When? Doesn't matter. He's going to flip it. So Saturday morning, I get an email from my doctor. He's writing to all of his patients. And I don't even want to tell you what's on there. Okay. But it's an incredible curse against every single person that's not vaccinated. He has contributed, like, I think there were 10 items in the past. I really would have had a double meltdown. And instead I looked at that. I said, Lord, this man, this is horrible. He's Jewish, doesn't believe in God anymore. He just believes in being a doctor. And the things he said on there was horrific. However, it gave me so much fuel to get up. And I went to march with there was 3,000 Quebecers downtown Montreal marching against, well, for, not against, marching for the right to say no to the vaccine. And I have not been in a crowd in a very long time. Just so you know, I had a little bit of social anxiety before. And I was in a crowd of people with three other Christians, and I drove into the city. God gave us parking, and one of my flowers—gosh, I have so much to say. One of my flowers bloomed, and I know the Lord said it's the breastplate of righteousness. And so, I was marching, and I was dancing, and marching, and dancing for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. I had so much energy, and I was like, "Wow!" And then there was a warning. The Holy Spirit really hit me hard, and He said, "Check this out." Like my sister and my brother saw the police on one end, and they were dressed in riot gear. Okay. And there was a man, a marcher, who was in front of them, and he was provoking them. And he was using the word liberté, you know, liberty. He was using the chance basically to provoke and stir and push the cops out of the way. The Holy Spirit just filled my heart, and He says, "I want you to jump between the two and steer the crowd to say it's all okay and just keep going, keep going." Because this man was trying to stir the crowd, okay, according to the Holy Spirit anyway, to get angry at the cops. And I saw the cops, they had a stone face, but I saw little boys that were terrified. And my heart, I said to my friend, I think I have to go right between the two. And she goes, "Oh, careful, Carol, it's a little bit dangerous." I said, "Yeah, you're right." But again, I felt compelled. And so you know how the love of Christ compels us? I did, I ran out in front. And I looked at the cops and I just blessed them. And then I turned around and I looked at the crowd and I said, "It's all good, guys. Keep on going. They're just here for our security." And it was so amazing. The mob moved on. And then the lady that was organizing the event came by and thanked me. And I said, "That's God." The next day I woke up and I go, "God, that was insane. What? You put me in front of so many people so easily. They could have just stepped right on top of me, you know." But nobody listened to that man. Just by that one moment, I was just moving 3,000 people in the other direction. But that was the Holy Spirit. So it was insane, wonderful. I felt so awesome. I said, "You know, Lord, it's so awesome to not be afraid, you know." So I'm pushing through that. And of course, the doctor is doing all kinds of things and, you know, still didn't do the paperwork, but I'm praying for him. Every time the enemy comes out, I spent one night up for 4 hours. All I did was listen to the word of God. Because I said, "Okay, I can't sleep. I'm just going to listen to God. That's all." And I just listened to the word. So I'm going to keep on pressing through and ask you guys to keep praying for me for that. Mm-hmm. So, amen. Yeah. And then we're going to pray. His name is Dr. Slapkoff. And
Flat Top.
Claiming that man. I am claiming him for the kingdom of God. I mean, he, you know, I wrote back to him when he wrote some, because I sent him something, some two things from doctors, and he wrote back the most insulting thing, but the most polite way to say it is that, you know, my little brain, I just made his case for, you know, how ridiculous we are for not getting the vaccine. And I wrote back to him, I said, "You know, there's no, in any way did I want to provoke you to be upset. I bless you. I will continue to pray for you. And I'm still praying about this. It's too soon for these vaccines." And that was it. So I just, instead of getting angry, I just wrote back a blessing to him. And I really think that is what we are to do, is to keep diffusing that fire, the anger that's trying to come towards us. And we just have to keep blessing them and blessing and praying for each other, of course, through this. So that's it. I'm going to stop talking. Bless you.
Okay. Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, I sent out an email today that had a video of a hospital administrator and a key doctor and somebody else, that they were advocating to hype up the numbers of COVID. Did anybody get that? Okay. All right. Did you get it, Carol? Okay, good deal. And so y'all know what I'm talking about. So this is a planned deal for the hospitals to make money, the doctors to make money, and they'd rather make money than heal people. That's what they're telling you. They'd rather make money than heal people. They know what's in this stuff. Or most of them do. A lot of them do. But anyway, that's my take on it.
I sent you a link. If you want to send it to the group once you've looked at it, but it is a doctor that talks exactly about that and about the certain remedies that we could be using if you sense you're ill. It's phenomenal. It's over an hour, and I think it's on Rumble. But I sent it to you today because it was so informative to help us to stay the course. And he is Christian, and he was giving this speech in a church. So I think it might be really encouraging for us all to keep standing strong to listen to that.
Amen. All right. Who's taking the jab? Raise your hand. Joe, don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? I think she put it in the chat, didn't you, Kara? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, that was Judy and Sue. All right, anybody else? There's Will in here. I don't see him. He had a question, but I'm going to wait till he gets in here, if he comes in, that he wanted us to explore. A couple of questions, actually. Yeah, Pat.
I just got notified here today. Notified like I'm called on the carpet. I'm shifting gears. They're sending me over to New Jersey, and I have to be over there at 6 a.m. So I'm going to need to bow out. But I hate to do that. But one thing I just wanted to say real quick is that David's messages are spot on with what the Lord is doing with me. I'm not quite sure how to, you know, say any more. I'm assuming obviously he's doing the same with everybody else, but the Lord is really he's been showing me the connection between, I know he's had me stuck on this concept of perfection in Christ, and Hebrews 10 talks about that it is his will that all those sanctified in Jesus are perfected in him through the same sacrifice. And it's just so many things that David's saying on these messages that are clicking all kinds of things in different areas. I know in me, it's like God is throwing a potpourri of various different truths in every area, and it's like I can't explain. It's like it's too much to explain, and I don't have all the pieces there. It's a really weird feeling, but I think God is bringing the pieces together, and I know that there was kind of a last thought that he gave me, and this was the anointing, the early and latter rain anointing, and it has to do with the perfection that God is bringing his people into. And that latter rain is the power and blessing of the Holy Spirit that's going to take advantage of that work that he has done in all those that are sanctified. And so anyway, I have kind of a prayer request, and that would be that the Lord would bless us by pulling us together in these thoughts and these in this thinking. I know a lot of what it is as David is bringing us together in the way that we're viewing certain things and seeing certain things that God's doing is. And I think it's kind of blowing my mind in a way, but anyway, I wish I could stay. I just wanted to part with that, but I'm probably going to be listening through podcast or whatever on the way to work in the morning just to get things straight. But anyway, praise the Lord. And I'd just like to bless everybody and thank everybody for praying for me. Also, keep up prayer for household salvation. And I think the Lord is definitely doing things in that area. So anyway.
Amen. Lord, ask that you protect Pat as he goes from one foreign country to the next foreign country in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for your complete protection on him, his vehicles, and his men in Jesus' name. Amen. No passports needed.
Going into the belly of the beast. Huh?
That's right.
All right. Good night, everybody. Amen. Love
good night,
everybody.
Pat. Bless you. All right. Now we can talk about him. No, we don't talk about Pat. He's a good man. All right. Yes, Missy.
I have a prayer request. We have this rhododendron. We've been doing some yard work, and long story short, it has some kind of bug, and we got this insecticidal soap to spray all over it and all. And so I want to pray about that. We just command all those bugs to die that's on this, and we command this rhododendron to come completely out of this, back to life and be healthy and strong in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for doing that. We don't want to have to cut it out. We just command it back to life. And all those bugs be gone, and we forbid them to get on any other of our bushes. And if they are on any other bushes, we can command them to die there too, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for doing that, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. How big is it, Missy?
Well, we cut it down a little bit because we had never trimmed it. I don't know. It may be like 3x3 round, you know, the way we cut it was bigger than that, but we... You know, I told Mara, we've never trimmed this, so let's trim some of this off so we don't have as much to spray, for one, and that way it'll help it, you know, come back more, you know, and I'll get some newer growth on it too. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that rhododendron back. And then, Jesus' name. You know, they grow wild up there at the falls.
I know. And you know what? There's mountain laurel looks almost exactly like that. And I'm wondering if mountain laurel is really anything different other than it just grows in the wild. I don't know.
What they call it up there, they call it whatever that name is.
Rhododendron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one too.
Well, mountain laurel is the Pennsylvania state flower. So I don't know. I have to look into that to see what.
These ain't Pennsylvania flowers. We don't accept that. All right. Anybody else? They're healed in Jesus' name. They're him. And bugs, get off of them. Stay away from them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to set those people free up there in Pennsylvania here shortly. Thank you, Lord. Missy, did you want to share your revelation? Did you want to do that? Or you want to wait and let David do it?
Well, that's up to you. I mean, if you want me to share it.
Well, I'm asking you.
Well, I thought, you know, I was wondering about maybe sharing it because okay. To me, it's really sure. Encouraging. Let me pull it up here, what I sent to David.
There's a good one, folks. There's a good one. I hate to say that in front of her, but it was good.
Lord, no glory to me, all to the Lord. I do have to say, though, you know, I felt like the Lord was saying, said to me, you know, because he's given me some pertinent dreams, you know, and he pointed out to me, Missy, because you're always asking me about these things, you know, and you're diligent to pray it, you know, and know that I'm the answer to all these things. And so I just felt like he said, I gave it to you because you keep asking for the man child, you know. So anyway, so here's I'm going to preface it a little info before I tell the dream. My boy's great uncle Randy died at the age of 53 several years ago of a massive stroke. He used to be a certified public accountant in a firm with my boy's father. Well, in the dream, Randy was back and I was so happy to see him. And let me just, I didn't put this in here, but when I went to his funeral, this was before my boy's father and I had actually divorced. We were already separated, but Peggy, his wife, when I went up to her, she just grabbed me and she just hugged me and we just cried, you know. And every time I think about this, I always get choked up. And I hadn't seen them in a while because of us being separated, not divorced yet. But anyway,
let's get on with the greeny.
I know, but I just gotta share this. She says to me, Missy, Randy really loved you, you know, so he was back and I was so happy to see him. Randy means wolf shield. He represents Jesus in the man child, the shepherd. He protects the sheep from the wolves / apostate leadership. We were outside with other people around and it was dark. A time of spiritual darkness in the world. He told me that he's here to do a job. As we were talking, he was walking away from me because he didn't have time to talk. He needed to get going. I told him I knew what it was he had to do. He asked me what I thought it was, and I told him I couldn't say because there were other people around, thinking they shouldn't hear. I knew he was here to help get the new economic system started. And I asked the Lord if I understood this correctly in the dream, and the Lord gave me five heads for a yes. The resurrected anointed man child uses the authority he's been given to do what President Trump and the alliance hasn't been able to do. I believe that the Lord is showing us that the man child will be anointed before Kisara Nisara is implemented. God is going to get the glory for taking care of the deep state that has been doing everything they can to keep Kisara Nisara from starting. And then he left in the darkness of the night, end of dream. And that's my dream, but the Lord really gave me some awesome verses and all to go along with that. So,
so in essence, it's what he's saying, what the dream is saying, is that the man child is going to be the key to the prosperity of the church, of the true church.
Yeah. That, that
financing this great revival is fixing up.
Yeah, and he's the key of this, you know, if this getting implemented, the Lord's going to anoint him first, and he's going to use his authority that the Lord gives him to, however that looks, to bring about this new monetary system. New economic system. So. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Missy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I want something. Has anybody else got something they want to talk about? Because I want to read some quotes here. If not. You sent this to me. It's come from Revival List. Anybody get that from Andrew Strong? Okay. These are great quotes that he puts out every now and then. Continual listening in prayer, Romans 12, 12. The Greek is a metaphor taken from hunting dogs that never give over the game till they have their prey. That's what a prayer warrior is supposed to do. Thomas Brooks. How hard is it sometimes to get leave of hearts to seek God? Jesus Christ went more willingly to the cross than we do to the throne of grace. Whoa, that hurt. Thomas Watson. I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Amen. How many of you know we're the mouth and the hands and the feet of God? Many have an idyllic and sweet idea of revival, and they pray to this end. But our prayer should be to expose sin and lies first in our own hearts, then in the churches, to pray for a great conviction of sin and that man would crumble and surrender at the terrifying presence of a holy God. Then they would find the sweet, rapturous joy of being at peace with their God. Do you still want revival? We must pray and preach to this end. If we are silent or silenced, many in the churches will perish. Jerry Woods. To the church, a revival means humiliation, a better knowledge of unworthiness, and an open and humiliating confession of sin on the part of her ministers and people. It's not the easy and glorious thing many think it to be. It accuses them of sin. It tells them they're dead. It calls them to awake, to renounce the world, and to follow Christ. James Burns, Revival, Their Laws and Leaders. Some people become tired at the end of 10 minutes or half an hour of prayer. What will they do when they have to spend eternity in the presence of God? We must begin the habit here and become used to being with God. Sundar Singh. That's a good one. There's no power like that of prevailing prayer of Abraham pleading for Sodom, Jacob wrestling in the stillness of the night, Moses standing in the breach, Hannah intoxicated with sorrow, David, heartbroken with remorse and grief. Jesus, in sweat of blood. Always there is the cost of passion unto blood. Such prayer prevails. It turns ordinary mortals into men of power. It brings power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. Samuel Chadwick. Oh, brother, pray. In spite of Satan, pray. Spend hours in prayer. Rather neglect friends than not pray. Rather fast and lose breakfast, dinner, tea, and supper, and sleep too, than not pray. And we must not talk about prayer. We must pray in right earnest. The Lord is near. He comes softly while the virgins slumber. Andrew Bonar. Ooh. A man cannot lead others where he is not willing to go himself. Therefore, beware of the prayerless church leader who no longer readily admits his own need for more of the person and power of Jesus Christ. Only seeking a praying heart can truly encourage spiritual hunger in others. David Smithers. Excuse me. Woo! Anybody get convicted? Amen, I did. I'll admit that. I this is something that's been on my heart too for a while that I haven't, and I'll just make a confession that I haven't acted on, and I'm going to. With God's grace and his mercy, I'm going to. There's something about this that I know this from my own experience, is when you get in the presence of God, you don't want to get out of it, but you have to get in it first. And that's that first step we have to take to get in the presence of God. Still yourself before God and ask him, Lord, talk to me. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what you have. Tell me what you want to tell me. And have a pencil and paper handy because he'll tell you. And then once you understand that you're in the presence of God, you've already made your list of things to pray for. I'm sure you do that, don't you? You just don't do it from memory. Or at least I don't. I try to write them down. Well, I do write them down. And then I go through them and I pray. And I pray, and I pray, and I pray. This is what I'm doing, what I said I hadn't been doing, okay? And then you understand, and it's always, it's a time that I used to just, oh, man, I can't wait to get in the presence of God again. I remember, what was that guy's name, Dave, that came on and had those wonderful spiritual trips?
Tom,
yeah, that's him.
Kruger.
Tom.
Kruger.
What?
Tom Kruger.
Yeah, Tom Kruger. Tom Kruger. He couldn't wait. Once he got hurt, he couldn't wait to get in the presence of God because the Lord would just take him all places, you know. Now, I never did have that kind of an experience. But I just knew that I was in the presence of God, and I know a lot of y'all have too. What's going to bring about the revival, folks, is prayer. Yeah, that's, Sam, that's Andrew Strom from New Zealand or Australia, I think, puts that out. He's a preacher. It used to be over here. And he's an evangelist, used to be, I guess, and he has a website. You know who that is, Andrew Strong? Okay. Julie, could you put up that link for those who want to know, please? She gets it. I do too, but
An email list. I'll put the link to sign up for his emails in the chat.
Okay. Yeah. He has some good stuff. All right. Yeah, Missy.
Was that today's email that you got that you shared with us from him?
No, she said no.
That one, that particular one was from September 10th.
Okay. Can you forward that to me? Because I had I don't get his emails anymore.
Okay, here's the link to sign up for. You send an email to that link there. To subscribe, please send a subscribe. So put in the subject line subscribe.
Yeah.
Email to that link I just put in there. And
but you'll forward that one
to me. Forwarding it to you right now.
Thank you.
Right now. Go ahead, Claire.
I love how that ties in with what Brother David was preaching on or sharing on Sunday about Odin, Odin Hetrick. And I've watched his interview a few times because I just have never seen two grown men speak to each other with such love as what you see in those videos. Like, it's just amazing. I just love it. But what I liked, what he said in the interview is that in heaven, you get this thought, oh, let's all go down to the river of life. And then you all go, but it's like, it's God who puts that thought in you, in your spirit being, and because you're completely yielded and you're completely obedient, you just go. And I thought, well, how is that different to now? Like we are supposed to be putting the spirit man, building the spirit man up and putting the carnal man to death. And I thought like that we can only do that when we're in prayer, like when we're in the presence of God, then we can hear him and then we can do his will. There's no way that we're going to be, well, I'm not going to limit God, but it's very rare that you would all of a sudden hear God's voice if you're in carnality. And so I love, you know, just everything always links back to the word, and those that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I've just really been blessed by that this week. Just to pause and think, is this of God? Am I in prayer? And I spoke to a sister last night who said, you know, she puts her head covering on all the time because she prays all the time. And Rian got this message this morning. He's reading a little, this little book that I bought him that's got some Hebrew words in it, just, you know, just for fun. And the Jews did that. Like they had a blessing for God, for everything. Listen to this one. They even had a blessing when they were going to the toilet. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who fashioned man with wisdom and created within him many openings and cavities. If you are in prayer to God all the time and you are blessing him, I mean, what a blessing returns onto you. Like he just loves the fact that we want to talk to him and we want to love him. And you can bet your bottom dollar I said that prayer this morning. Like I'm just loving the fact that we can be in prayer to him all the time. It's beautiful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. My. Lord, do that for all of us. Give us the time to do it, like the scripture, like the guy said in the thing there, make the time, sacrifice your time for the Lord, and you'll be blessed. Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
No, I was just going to comment on what Claire said about the Lord leading you. You know, there's several examples of that in the gospel where he sends Peter out with the hook so he can catch the fish with the gold coin in his mouth. How did he know that was going to be there? To go get the donkey so he can ride into Jerusalem. To find that room there, follow the guy with the pitcher, you know. There's a guy up there in the tree. He's a wee little man there. His name is Zacchaeus. You know, how did he know his name? He even knew his name. There's just so much of this leading of the Lord.
Go catch that fish and get that money for the taxes out of it.
Yeah, and plus have your lunch at the same time. Yeah. So, and he's not far off. He's there. He does this. You know, I was today relaxing on the couch, and then I went, I better go pray. It was 7 o'clock, so I went from there to here, and I was sort of triggered and on fire to come here, it's just wonderful what the Lord can lead you to do. Grab my little prayer book there and gives me ideas on how to pray, and you know, wrote some other prayer warriors, gave me some Andrew Murray, I think it is, gave me some good ideas, so I just wrote them down and just sort of kind of read them while I'm praying, and then it puts me in the mood and puts me in the groove to be closer to God. And of course, praying in tongues always brings you closer to him. So, but I never thought of having a pad with me to write the things down. So I'm going to have to learn some things every day, you know. So I'm going to take that one up. Got lots of pads here. Praise God.
Well, speaking of that, Andrew, I was reading today The Deeper Christian Life, and it starts out with daily fellowship with God. And it says the divine life within us comes from God and is entirely dependent upon him. As I need every moment afresh the air to breathe, as the sun every moment afresh sends down its light, so it is only in direct living communication with God that my soul can be strong. The manna of one day was corrupt when the next day came. I must every day have fresh grace from heaven, and I obtain it only in direct waiting upon God himself. Begin each day by waiting before God and letting him touch you. Take time to meet God, and to this end, let your first act in your devotion be a setting yourself still before God. In prayer or worship, everything depends upon God taking the chief place. I must bow quietly before him in humble faith and adoration, speaking thus within my heart: God is near. God is love, longing to communicate himself to me. God, the Almighty One, who works all in all, is even now waiting to work in me and make himself known. Take time till you know God is very near. And when you have given God his place of honor, glory, and power, take your place of deepest lowliness and seek to be filled with the spirit of humility. As a creature, it is your blessedness to be nothing, that God may be all in you. As a sinner, you're not worthy to look up to God. Bow in self-abasement. And as a saint, let God's love overwhelm you and bow you still lower down. Sink down before him in humility, meekness, patience, and surrender to his goodness and mercy. He will exalt you. Oh, take time to get very low before God. Then accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. God delights in nothing but his beloved Son and can be satisfied with nothing else in those who draw nigh to him. Enter deep into God's holy presence in the boldness which the blood gives, and in the assurance that in Christ you're most well-pleasing. In Christ, you're within the veil. You have access into the very heart and the love of the Father. This is the great object of fellowship with God, that I may have more of God in my life, and that God may see Christ formed in me. So be silent before God and let him bless you. And it goes on in that same vein throughout this whole thing.
See, it's when you read something like that, that can just lead you into the right place of prayer. Oh, man.
Oh. It does. Amen.
Michael?
Yes.
Debbie. Is it okay if I'd like to share what the Lord told me last night after you shared with just now, right now? You just shared.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
After David's wonderful teaching on God wants to do in revival and what he shared last night. And then we all stood up. He asked us all, let's all stand, just praise God and just desire and let him, we desire that move of the Holy Spirit in us and want more of him so we can be used by him. And I was doing that too. But then after a minute, the Lord started speaking to me, pour out your lives unto death. And that's all I kept here. I still kept, oh yes, God, yes, I just want the Holy Spirit, want more of you and use us in this revival. And I kept hearing, pour out your lives unto death. That's all I was hearing, was that. And so, I didn't share it. We all sat back down then, and a few other people were sharing testimonies and stuff and prayer. But I just kept hearing that. It was like he was saying to me, why didn't you say that? So I kept hearing, pour out your lives unto death. And so then I just shared. I finally just shared it. Well, while we were standing, the Lord, spoke these words to me, pour out your lives into death. And it's everything you just said, Michael. That's what he wants of us. He just what he wants.
Amen.
And he said to seek me how you can pour out your lives unto death. Seek me for what it is I want you to do that. And boy, what you just read is kind of like said it all. A real emptying of ourself, of this life unto death, the self life, the death of the self life. We can reach that point, but we need to pour ourselves out. And I just want God to show me all of what Amen. He's meaning there. And I want to be able to get into that. And I just want to share that it kind of started yesterday when I had a kind of a hard day. And I wanted to just go out and I was going to get a salad and I was getting hungry and there wasn't any at Weigel's. I love their salads. They didn't have any. And I was going, and I was having a hard time with the gas tank. And so I thought, where should I go now? Where can I get a good salad? And as I pulled, I started to go into Food City, and I'm sitting there in the car, just kind of bummed out, and just sitting there, what to do, and just staring off, just sitting there, kind of empty feeling. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go home. Just go home. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you. And right away, I just said, yes, Lord, you're going to feed me. Well, I just headed home. I just went home. And I did eat something here. Just something little. I had some leftover scrambled eggs. But then I was just so blessed to sit and get in the word, which I wanted to do. I wrote down a bunch of scriptures from the broadcast that David said. I started going over these scriptures and I just got so lifted up and so fed just by reading them out loud to myself. And it was just wonderful. And it was just that was a dying to myself. I poured out some myself and what I wanted to do to get before the Lord and let him do what he said he would do. And that was feed me. And he did. And I just want to be able to keep doing this. And him to show me what. And I know he wants us all to just seek him on that. Lord, how do you want me to pour out myself and to death today? So I just wanted to share that.
That is good. Lord. Thank you, Debbie. Amen. Thank you for that. That's a good word. Amen. Yeah. How you do that? Put that heart up there. Let me see here. Nope, that ain't it.
It's at the reactions, Michael, but you've got all your reactions completely under control.
Absolutely, I do. Absolutely. You got that right, girl. I think she sits around and waits for a chance. Something. That's what she does. Yeah. I believe it. But praise God, you're loved for it. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yes, go ahead, Malcolm X.
Whoever I am, is that me?
Yeah, that's you, brother.
I wanted to say I've become more aware that God is working in all these different denominations, and he's got people that are really making decisions for him. And I think it's it might be a gradual process for some people, but with these different crises that are coming up, the mandates and all these things, people are making decisions, and they're making decisions that would harm themselves by helping other people. And I don't know, I'm very encouraged. I mean, I even saw Mel Gibson come out publicly in support of all these Catholic priests that are being canceled by their bishops for doing the right thing as they understand it. But I just think it's interesting that there are all these people that see important issues that they need to take a stand on. And I guess I have realized maybe I should have been a little more careful about. I just think God has people all over the place that we don't even know about that are being honest with their own hearts and their own convictions. And they're following the way God's leading them. I'm so excited about what I'm seeing. Sometimes you look at groups of people and it's like, oh, you know. But no, God has a way to reach people, and I think that's very exciting. So I was talking with an old friend from years gone by, a couple days ago, and I was so. I'm in great disagreement with them about all kinds of things, as far as the Bible and God's authority and things like that. But I could tell that God's using them in whatever sphere they're in. God's using them to reach people, and it's almost like, it seems to me like a stepping stone situation, you know, where God's using people that they don't see past a certain point, and yet they're still being honest with what they understand. The other thing, too, is that if God's the one that opens people's hearts and allows people to see, and they can't see beyond a certain point, God can still use them in whatever capacity that he's got them working in at the time. So, I don't know, I just felt like I've needed to be a little more careful about writing people off, if you know what I'm saying. Because I think now we're starting to see people come out of the woodwork, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, think about people like Mel Gibson.
Look at the conference call. Look at the outreach here.
Yeah.
How much it's grown just in the last year.
I think about people like Mel Gibson, who went through so much persecution over trying to do the Passion of the Film Christ. He like you said, he tried to get the conference of bishops or whatever to support him. And he said they all ran. They couldn't get away from him fast enough. He said there were a few that helped him. But he said, for the most part, he started realizing who these people really were. And it was painful, but yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting. I just think it's... And he's not a... Like you said, he called himself a venal person, whatever that means. I don't know. Must be a Catholic term or something, but... like a sinner kind of person, but it seems like, I don't know, there seems to be a soft spot in some of these people's hearts toward God and toward doing what's right and following their conscience and standing up to support people that are being marginalized by all this canceling culture and the wokeness and all the other stuff.
All right. All right, George, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, just tagging on to Deb and Malcolm there, that praying and pouring out your life unto death. I was reminded, I've been trying to counsel a brother of mine who kind of fights with his sister and always has, and dealing with his older mother that he's taking care of, and they are fighting also. And just told him, excuse me, just talking to him about a revelation I got a long time ago. You know, every good idea I've ever had, I got from somebody else, basically. But it was, you won't talk about or talk against what you sow into. And when you pour out prayer for somebody and you're laying down the pavement of prayer to smooth out that road between you, and you don't talk to them for years or months at a time, but when you're constantly pouring out your life, when you breathe out the spirit of prayer, that you're giving up your life, you're giving your very breath and your time to lay down your life for the person you're praying for. And then when you talk to them or somebody else mentions their name, how could you have ill feelings or an opinion that's contrary to the best that God's got for them if you're spending your time giving your life in prayer for their good? And it's teaching me to love to pray for anybody that God puts in my mind. And I take it as, anybody that God puts in my mind, it's like he's given me the land. Everywhere my foot touches, everywhere my imagination touches, and that it's helping also to expand my faith to say, with God, anything is possible. So if it's an old rock and roll band that I used to listen to, and I can ask God to give them grace unto repentance, today is the day of salvation. Has been every morning, every time I open my mind to God, it's today is the day of salvation. And it's like Malcolm saying, that is anybody really beyond God's grasp? Because it's a good thing that George is not God, because would I ever write somebody off when God said he called them before the foundation of the world? And we don't know who's going to be saved in that last hour, or who's going to, or who God has called and equipped, and the end result of their, you know, and the harvest. How powerful are some of these people going to be in the harvest when, like you said, we're sitting here convicted because we're not on our knees? You know, you read of some or hear of some people in the past who had camel's pads for knees because they spent so much time praying, and the closet of their prayer room was just stained from the breath that they let out in prayer in private. And it's like, those are convicting stories to hear of men who and women who just lay their life down. So I'm with you, Brother Michael, that I've got a lot more laying my life down to do, and I repent of being entertained by anything in this world or trying to gain knowledge, which puffs up. I lay that down. I crucify it right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to die unto this world, and let me be useful, Lord, for your kingdom and your glory. And just hide me with the cross, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I receive that also as a prayer for myself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, George. Thank you, brother. That was good. All right, Malcolm.
I something's going on. I don't know how to explain it, I guess, but I'm kind of curious as to what's going on with the rest of you folks, but I find myself burdened for people to the point of tears, and I'm just praying in tongues for them. And this last weekend, I ran into a good friend died, kind of a malpractice thing in the emergency room. But anyway, their grandson was the age of my kids. So for some reason, this one boy has kept in touch with me. He works at a pretty high level in a company that we all know and probably don't love. But anyway, so I spent a lot of time talking with him. He started talking about some issues. He'd use the same word over and over, and I could tell the Lord was wanting me to pray for him about that. Well, I talked to my wife when I got home. I've known these kids since they were little. And she said, yeah, when he was being brought up, and I guess I'd kind of forgotten, but he had a lot of the same problem when he was a little boy. His parents had a very difficult time with him. And I thought, okay, it sounds like this is like a stronghold. It's something that needs to be broken. And so I just went to the Lord, and I've just been so... I don't know how it's just not a burden on my heart, I guess. It's just this kind of a crying out to God, you know, that he'll make I look at other people, they go around, they pray for people and the Lord reveals things to them. And then I don't know if they move on or not, but for me, it's like I get involved in this people's lives, you know, I just can kind of imagine where God's going to put him, you know, wrecking havoc with the kingdom of darkness. And I just kind of imagine them out there swinging their sword and helping other people that had similar problems that they had, you know, they got delivered from. So I just see this for this guy. I don't know. It's just, I kind of wanted to just pray for him right there and say, hey, let me just pray you get delivered from this, but I didn't. It was just the end of a long service, and we were just talking about all kinds of computer type stuff and everything, you know. But I've just made some very amazing contacts with people that I know the Lord wants me to pray for them and pray about the whole situation. Actually, this whole family that I was with at this memorial service, that I've just been praying that God will just turn them all to him. Anyway, I don't know. I just, when I meet people, sometimes the Lord just puts them on my heart and can't seem to sleep or anything. I just got to pray. I don't know. But I think this is a good time to take advantage of what God's doing with us. I don't know how the rest of you are, what's going on, but now, if I'm feeling that burden on my heart, I want to take advantage of it and just go for it with the Lord, not let things distract me. And there are plenty of those. So none of us want to be those, you know, the wheat growing up with all the thorns around us that kind of choke out the word, and we end up being unfruitful. I think that's a big temptation right now, even with all the excitement going on in the world. Still a big temptation to get involved in the excitement and maybe not be battling where the battle is, which is the heavenlies. Anyway, just anybody else have any, I don't know, does anybody else feel burdened that way? I'm sure you do. I just wondering.
Go ahead, George.
Malcolm's a fellow Mainer, and I just felt like I needed to mention that in July, Maine had record rainfall for the month of July, and then August and September, we've been getting nice, steady rain, some pretty heavy storms like some of the other parts of the country, but I just believe that that latter rain, that first it comes in the natural and then in the spirit, and I'm standing believing that Jesus is going to enter the eastern gate of the continent, and as goes, so goes the nation. So I'm just putting it out there to don't be surprised if God don't crack these Yankees, the ghost and the power of God, and shake all the traditions and any misconceptions that they have about the living God, that he's putting some crybabies like me and Malcolm in strategic places, and we're going to have fellowship. I know Malcolm's heart has cried out for fellowship, and mine also, for like-minded people who you can talk freely with, and just like this fellowship we're on right now. But we all need somebody we can reach out and slap on the back too. And I'm just giving all you brothers and sisters that big bear hug and slap on the back or a noogie or whatever you need. And I love you all, and I just believe that God is about to really surprise us with how much he wants to use us and to help us, and bring people alongside of us to enjoy this man-child journey. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Malcolm. It's the Malcolm George Show.
Like a conversation going on here.
That's fine. It's fine. You're doing good. Both of you are doing, yeah. Giving us good info here.
So, George, are you in Maine now, or is that where you're from? Or
does he sound like he's from Maine?
Yeah, I'm right in the heart of Maine in a place called Charleston near Bangor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I grew up kind of in Freeport, well, Bath, Freeport, Brunswick area. All along there. But anyway, when my parents moved there, one of the reasons they went there, I think, was because they had heard it was kind of a dark state as far as spiritual things go. And I don't know what your sense of things is of there in Maine as men, but anyway, I think my parents went there kind of as missionaries. They wanted to start, get something going. And I think that's why there's a, well, go ahead.
I'll just say that Angus King and Stephen King have to bow to the King. Jesus is King of Maine.
Amen. Yeah, I hold on. My wife's arriving in her car, and our dog is getting in front of the car and making it hard for her to drive in. But I'm just going to try to grab the dog real quick here. But anyway, I just... there are a lot of people that were really seeking the Lord back in those days, I remember. And our dog's right under the tire. Okay, it's okay now. So, one time my wife was backing up over a cat we had and just drove right over it. Didn't even see it. And I don't want to see a dog get rolled over. I know. So, but anyway, no, Maine was, I don't know.
How did that get into the discussion? That's what I
Oh, no, that's just, I was just trying to grab the dog, rescue our dog from getting rolled over. That's all. That was just
now the dog got run over. Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, I just, you know, Maine's been on my heart when I came back to the States and got to go back to Maine. All my, I left Maine. Our parents went overseas right in the middle of the school year, and it was pretty hard on me. I was 10 years old, and I kept in my mind all my classmates, and I came back to the States, I don't know, 10 years later, 7 years later. I guess I expected all my classmates to be lined up ready to greet me. I couldn't find one of them. Anyway, that was a terrible disappointment, but Maine's been on my heart, and maple syrup and all the Moosehead Lake and all that stuff. Anyway, Mount Katahdin, roaring brook. Yeah, there's a roaring brook campground on, is one of the campgrounds that is close to Mount Katahdin. But anyway, I think it's neat that there were a bunch of doctors back in those days that got together and tried to start a hospital to try to reach out to the people there. And, you know, like it happens, I think, with most hospitals, eventually it went from being a spiritual outreach thing to becoming a business, and then all things spiritual just went out the window, and all those doctors died. And anyway, just my heart's been close to that state for a long time. Anyway, good to talk, George.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for keeping all them cats out from behind the car of Malcolm's wife, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, Malcolm, George is not from Maine. He's from Georgia.
That's a problem. His accent is not very maniac.
No, he don't sound like it. Go ahead, Missy.
Gotta have that.
I wanted to clarify something. The enemy's been here attacking me with condemnation. And I wanted to clarify, you know, what I said about this dream that I had. I said the Lord told me, he gave it to me because I was asking him about these things, and he was showing me some things, and he was doing it to clarify some things to me. That I believe that he had put in my heart, you know, that the man child is the answer to everything, that we need the man child. And it's not that, no, I know every one of you have been praying and asking the Lord to bring the man child. And, you know, it was just an encouragement to me. And I, you know, want you all to be encouraged too, you know, that, you know, we're asking the Lord about these things, and he gives us the answers, you know, and it doesn't matter who they come through, whether he gives it to you personally or he gives you the answer to your prayer or things that he's put on your heart through somebody else or however he puts it. But the fact is you were asking, you know, and he answers, you know, so. I just praise and thank the Lord for that encouragement, and that he gave it to me so that I can share with every one of you, and that you all be encouraged too. So I just wanted to clarify that. And, you know, the enemy's trying to say that I'm, you know, prideful and stuff. And it's just like, just this,
no way. Like, I know you stay in the word a lot, Missy.
But the thing of it is it's been hard, you know. I just cast down this condemnation. I come against you, I'm the spirit. It's just like ever since I shared that, the enemy has just been coming at me, and it's and I've hardly heard anything that you all have said since then because of this barrage of attack on my mind. Amen.
We command it to go from her and do not return. In the name of Jesus, condemnation, you go from her and be gone and don't come back, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
It's gone, Missy. Amen.
Thank
now, do we need to review to you what all we said here?
I just have to go back and listen.
Okay.
The recording.
Good idea.
I won't put you all through that.
Okay.
You could all go.
Amen. Yeah.
Love y'all. Bless you.
Love you too. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? We got a little bit of time here. Got 7, 8, 10 minutes. How many of you? And this is the question you don't need to ask answer to me, but answer to yourself. How many of you will seek the Lord more after tonight and make time to pray and to intercede for those around you and those on this thing here? I know that after tonight, the Lord's been putting it on my heart here just in the last couple of weeks to do a whole lot more praying and seeking the Lord in certain areas. And so I'll just confess that and want to do it. And I command distractions, and that's the biggest problem that we have is distractions, away from all of us, and nothing in the time that we're in right now is more important than to be in the presence of God and seeking God and praying for our brothers and sisters. Because there's a need for that in the body, and praying for revival, and praying for the man child, and praying for the bride, and praying for all of these things that we know to pray for. Praying this deep state in the church down. And there's a lot to pray for and a lot to believe God for. Go ahead, Malcolm. What happened? You've changed something on your deal there.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm just running around out here. It's starting to sprinkle, and I'm trying to get everything covered up with tarps that's exposed. It hasn't rained real often, so.
Anyway, what are you trying to, you trying to hide them chickens? You got chickens out there running around?
No, no. They'd be okay if they got wet.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I'm trying to remember what I was. It was really important that I wanted to say. I think one thing is that when you pray for people for a number of years, and you see them kind of stuck in whatever religious environment they're in, and it's like you're not seeing any changes, and yet you keep praying. It's like after a while, you've invested so much emotional energy in them that I can just imagine when everything cuts loose and there, you see them get set free and all this. There's going to be a lot of thankfulness in our hearts toward God. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. I wanted to mention was the thing about praying. I had a dream years ago that's posted on UBM's website about the I forget what the name of it is. But anyway, in the setting where there are all these people in front of me, and I was, my whole function standing there in this place was to pray people across this line. There's an invisible line there, and I knew I had to pray for people to get across that line. And I think, look, you know, the way I interpreted David saw it and whatnot was that was the line for being in the bride. But and a lot of the focus in the dream was that I needed to be praying in tongues. But I was in the dream, I was really focusing on people that were on the other side of that line and praying to have them come across and get in on this side. And time was of the essence. And then when everything cut loose and the wind picked everybody up that was on the other side of that line and off we all went, I realized it was too late to pray for anybody that was on the other side of that line, and they were left behind. And I think it's important that we really focus on interceding, because I think there might be regrets if, you know. So I guess I'm talking to myself more than anybody, because I just feel like I get so distracted, and there's no time. There's no time to do other stuff. it's true we have different obligations around whatever God's put in front of us. God's put us in these situations, but whatever we're doing, we can be praying in tongues. We can be interceding, and just because there's going to come a point that our prayers are going to have to change. We're going to have to, you know, not be so concerned about the people that were left behind. Not that we can't pray for them, but there's a deadline coming. So that's all.
Amen. Thank you. There is a deadline coming. The line is drawn in the sand. All right. Where's Greg tonight? He must be working. Okay. Probably. Well, all right. I guess we're out of time. Anybody got a prayer request before we close out?
Yeah, Michael, I would like us to pray for Crystal, you know, who okay. just started coming to our fellowship, you know, touched by the Lord and everything. She didn't come last night, and I knew she wanted to me to get hold of her in case she could come over here and be on the conference call with me. So I texted her today, and she just, first of all, she didn't know who I was. But then I told her, and anyway, she said that she just really bummed out. Just had a bummed out day, something like that. She said, blah day or something. And it's not like she didn't want to come because she had a blah day. And I told her, well, okay, I want you to really be lifted up spiritually through prayer, and you get that. But I didn't hear anything back. So I want to just pray for her that God will not, you know, she's a brand new Christian and come from some hard things. And Lord, just don't want these other things to fall back on her again and fall back into these temptations, Lord, and bondages. I pray, Lord, that you, God, would lift her up, Lord, and you would cause her to run to you, Lord. She would be fearful of where she might go, God, as far as back into any of these things again, Lord, that she would fear that and just cry out to you, Lord. And I pray that she would also come to us, Lord. Oh, we're right here. We live in the same spot, Lord, and that she would just come for prayer, Lord, and not think that she's unworthy or would just or condemned or just bind condemnation from her too, Lord, from keeping her from wanting to get prayer and want to be strengthened, Lord, and encouraged by your Spirit, Lord, and through the brethren, Lord, and brothers and sisters, Lord. So I just lift her. Lift Crystal up to you, Lord. You would lift her up, Lord, and that you would not let her get swept back into what you delivered her out of, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We command that spirit off of her right now, that spirit of apathy or whatever it is, distraction, go from her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're placing it in her heart to give Debbie a call. Or anyone to call over there. And we thank you, Father, that she's going to be at the Bible study tomorrow. In Jesus' name, she'll be good for her.
I would pray off a spirit of discouragement, too, because sometimes that's what comes on them, especially new Christians. They just don't feel like the environment's good for them to be there. They just don't feel right about it because the enemy doesn't want them to be there. So it brings that on them. So Father, in the name of Jesus, any kind of spirit coming on them that's want to discourage them to have fellowship with believers and make them feel like they don't belong and that they're not right with you, so they shouldn't be around Christian good people, we cast that off them now in the name of Jesus to free them up so they can be set free and come in and come alive with your spirit. Be set free, Father, and come alive. Thank you, Father.
Amen. We've had more than one of them just come to the fellowship and run out the door. It's just craziness. That's the enemy. Well, all right, Lord, we thank you for a fine time tonight. We just thank you, Lord, that you are placing it in our hearts to intercede and to pray for the ones that you place on our heart, Lord. And I thank you for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make it so each and every one of us, the first thing that we want to do is to seek you for the day's manna. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing Missy with no more condemnation. In Jesus' name, give her some more dreams. Give her some more good dreams about the man child coming. That'd be great. And Lord, we thank you that everybody here that has been prayed for healing, is healed. In Jesus' name, delivered. In Jesus' name, and we command all stony hearts to be turned back to the Lord's heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Y'all.